This is Mouth Media Network. Amplify and connect.
Hi, I'm Carrie Benjamin. I'm the esthetician, CEO and founder of Stack Skincare. And what I love about beauty is how it is unique to everybody, and that uniqueness really allows for your confidence to shine through.
Are you sure your skincare routine is really state of the art? Well, check this out. Technologist turned celebrity esthetician Carrie Benjamin is rethinking that very skincare routine. As an esthetician, her advanced techniques allowed her to develop individually tailored skincare regimens into a signature treatment called Stack Skincare. She grew this treatment into a multifaceted consumer product business, selling at stackedskincare.com, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Coming up, you'll hear this entrepreneur's story of finding her passion and bootstrapping her business to profitability.
From New York City, you're listening to Beauty is Your Business, covering the intersection of innovation and business in the beauty industry.
Well, Carrie, thank you so much for joining us on Beauty is Your Business. I'm really excited to be here with you.
Thank you for hosting me.
So, you know, first of all, congrats on the success with Stack Skincare. I know you're in Neiman's and Sephora, but as I was actually looking at the brand in more detail, you know, you have like stellar reviews and a lot of love on Sephora. Can you tell me more about the origin of the brand and how, you know, as an esthetician who's seen a lot of, you know, faces and skin conditions, what was it that moved you to start your own brand?
So I've, my whole life, really struggled severely with chronic eczema. And I, as a result, had gotten really sick. My whole life, I've been on medications, steroids. I've been, you know, going to an allergist and, you know, up all night with ice packs. And then I went through, I think it was 2008 was my year that I just got a bunch of MRSA infections, one that landed me in the hospital. I was really, really sick and the doctors weren't helping me. And so I really felt like I needed to figure out what to do with about my skin. And, you know, I kind of started tinkering in the kitchen with different oils and really realized that I ultimately wanted to have a skincare line, but I really felt it was important for me to become an expert and an esthetician, not only to help myself, but to help other people. And then it would give me that credibility, that authenticity for my company and for my brand. And also I have, you know, the empathy that I have around people with skin concerns. So the origins comes from my own very personal story with my own skin. And then how I came up with the concept of Stack Skincare was through my work in the spa. So with my clients, you know, I bought this expensive microdermabrasion machine and I started working on clients with that. And then I started combining it with, you know, other modalities and procedures. And I really realized that the efficacy of my treatments just were exponentially greater. And so combining or stacking is what I called it. And so Stack Skincare was born with this process of combining peels, serums, and tools for maximum efficacy. And so I took that concept and developed the consumer line off of it. So I hired a designer to help me design our tools. And then I went with a lab to develop the peels and the serums. And that's how the product line was born.
I'm curious, there's been such an almost an education with the consumer on new treatments and things like microneedling, dermaplaning. I wanted to understand what opportunity you saw as an esthetician to bring the devices in. And especially, it seems like it's a good moment for you, given shelter in place where everyone's trying to do their own services. And, you know, would love to learn a little bit more about that aspect of the business and how it's differentiating you in the marketplace.
Yeah, I've been talking about microneedling and dermaplaning, you know, early, many years ago when I first started the career in aesthetics, so 8 years ago. And, you know, and that was, it's a cornerstone of our product line. And we have seen a huge growth and specifically with those tools. But exactly what you're saying, you know, people are doing more. There's a lot more people online. They're more comfortable shopping online. They're more comfortable doing these types of treatments. We provide a ton of education. There's videos, and you know, you can reach out to us on, you know, several different platforms. And we have somebody dedicated and responding same day typically. But there's a huge surge in consumers' willingness to try and seeing the results and being able to say, oh, I can do this at home, you know, really get the results that I'm looking for and save a lot of money. And, you know, even if they are still seeing their esthetician, I always say these are great treatments to be doing in between your visits, because it's just going to amplify those results for you. So it's been really great. We've seen a huge growth in our business as a result of people really realizing that they can start to do this at home on their own.
Amazing. And then as you were looking at the devices, what was that process like? So I'm sure you had, you know, your, you know, professional grade versions, and like, what was the thought process to make it accessible and easy to use, you know, for the retail consumer audience?
So specifically for the tools, you know, like for example, for dermaplaning in the spa, we use a 10 blade scalpel. I actually hired a product designer and engineer to come down and watch me with my clients all day doing dermaplaning and microneedling. And, you know, he's sketching and taking videos. And so he, you know, he went back to, you know, and then we collaborated over the course of probably a year to come up with these designs that were going to be give you this similar results, especially with dermaplaning. I really wanted to try to make it as close as possible to the results as a 10 blade scalpel, but with safety measures in place that you could, you know, safely use it at home and feel confident. So that was the process that I went through. I still work with him today. We continue to develop new tools that we're getting ready to launch hopefully soon. But I knew that I wanted microneedling and dermaplaning in my product line. I wanted my own unique designs. And so I went the route of hiring somebody to help me, you know, realize that vision.
Oh, interesting. Cool. So it's definitely, it sounds like, I'm just looking also at your tech background. It's bringing this, you know, element of human-centered design and, you know, like with safety as a core and stuff. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Like to make it accessible. Because it's like when you look at microneedling just as a consumer, it's kind of scary. Like I'm afraid I'm going to mess up my skin or something. But just looking at your Instagram and seeing the results from your clients, and it's pretty incredible.
You know, it's always been really important to me. Like it has to be effective. You know, if you go on my Yelp page in my esthetician days, there's tons of, you know, glowing reviews from my clients. And one of the main, you know, purposes is to make sure that we're helping people solve their skin concerns. And so every time I develop, whether it's a tool or a product, it has to be effective. It has to show those results. Otherwise, you know, it really doesn't make any sense to bring it to market. So it's really important. You know, whenever I add a product or a tool, it's very specific and it has to go with the whole product line. I'm not really just a vitamin C, you know, cleanser toner type product line. It's very focused on skin correction and then maintaining those results and also preventing the signs of aging or preventing, you know, breakouts, preventing, you know, dark spots. So really looking to solve people's skin's concerns in a much more effective way. And one of the cornerstones of my brand is empowerment. You know, I really wanted to empower my clients and now, you know, our customers around the world with the ability to really take care of their skin in a much more sophisticated way and do it at home themselves.
So kind of what's next for the brand? Or one, how long have you been in business? You know, what's that evolution been like and what are you thinking next?
So I launched the aesthetics business about 8.5 years ago, launched the product line 5.5 years ago. You know, I come from a high-tech background. I worked for Microsoft for a long time and I worked for DoubleClick. I've been in specifically in digital media. So I started like before digital media was digital media and specifically in the e-commerce space. So I knew I wanted to build a direct-to-consumer business. So the website's been around for 5.5 years. We've been in Sephora now for like 2 years. You know, I want to continue to grow our product line. We just, you know, a huge effort is continuing to obviously grow revenue, but also globally. So we just launched global on our site. We partnered with this tech company that really is going to help us with the fulfillment side to get our shipping rates down, because we've been shipping globally, but we just didn't really have the efficiencies for shipping. So I think global is a huge part of our expansion, and then just, you know, continuing to grow my team so that we can continue to drive more and more traffic to the site. I invest, because of my background, I invest a ton in technology. So we're constantly deploying new things on the website, you know, whether it's loyalty or different features and functionality on the site that are going to, you know, help with upsell or cross sell, or, you know, adding more products to your cart to increase the AOV. We're constantly testing new creative. So what's really next is, I think, just continuing to grow. You know, we're still a pretty small company, hoping to double in 2021, or looking to double in 2021.
Amazing. That's awesome. I'm curious on the technology side, like what have been, you know, some of the lessons learned and some of the things that you've found really to be effective?
I don't know if I can say this, but I will. You know, we launched on Shopify and we moved over to Magento. And I have to say, it was probably one of the biggest business decisions, worst business decisions I've ever made. It struggled a lot. We got back on Shopify in March of this year, and I couldn't be happier. It is just such an easier platform.
Transition like a long time ago, or more like when you moved from Shopify to Magento, or was it, you know?
Yeah. So it was 3 years ago. So we had a 3-year contract, and I struggled for 3 years with that platform. It was constantly, everything was breaking all the time. It's very challenging to find good developers. It was just a nightmare. I mean, and you really couldn't add things to the site. Anytime you added something, it broke. It was a nonstop 3-year nightmare, and I put an end to it. And we went back on Shopify this March, and it honestly was the best decision. I am so happy. And now we have a really great developer. It's really easy to add functionality to the Shopify platform and test it. Their checkout is better.
I mean, I guess just the Shopify, and the reason I ask is like the Shopify platform has evolved, you know, to scale up for businesses, and then also like the whole ecosystem. So it's just interesting to know, you know, when in that journey and stuff. There's just like seems to be so many cool innovations and technologies coming along that just make things that used to be hard so much easier.
There's almost too much. I mean, I'm constantly getting pitched, and sometimes I'm just like, okay, I gotta, like, you know, just chill out for a minute, see how these things are going before I dive into, you know, other avenues that we can continue to explore. Cause I love implementing new technology, on the site, and also just internally, you know, obviously everybody's on Slack and Asana. We have a DAM software as opposed to Dropbox. And anything I can do to manage the business more efficiently internally through software, I'm always up for testing it out, whether it's internally or, you know, for customers.
You must be like a software partner's like dream, like case study client, right?
So. I'm an easy sell.
Yeah, no, I get it. I totally understand. So on the skincare side, I'm curious, like, are you seeing, I mean, there's so many like tried and true ingredients, treatments, even on the aesthetic side, you know, like on the esthetician side, but like, where are you seeing potential innovation? It just feels like there's been so much more happening on ingredient efficacy, on clean, but even on the innovation side and like devices, I've got to think there's something new coming next. Like, is there any like area that's pretty novel right now that you're just like looking at to see like that might be transformative, or like, I don't know.
It's a good question. You know, I mean, obviously dermaplaning is having its day right now, and devices in general. I've got some things in our pipeline that I'm excited to share soon. I can't really do it right now. But I don't really have a specific answer for you on, you know, what the latest trend is. I mean, I think that people are just looking for, you know, solutions to use at home. And they specifically really seem to be gravitating towards tools. which is great. And I somehow figured that really early on, you know, when I was just in my aesthetics career and understood that that needed to be a key component in the product line. And I think it's definitely one of our uniqueness is that we teach you how to use tools with your skincare products to get you the results. But in terms of like where I see the trends going, I think, we'll just continue to see more and more innovation. You know, I have a product developer that I work with, not only on the tool side, but then, you know, like a chemist for our skincare products. So, the raw ingredient manufacturers are always coming out with, new and improved, formulations and ingredients to use in our different formulations. So it's a constant evolution. And in my mind, I'm always trying to think about, what would I want to use that would, help me, whether it's my face or my body. I kind of go through that process with our product designer, and make it come to life.
Amazing. I bet you're going to come up with the next innovation. So excited to see where that comes, and we'll be definitely following closely.
I got a couple of things in the pipeline.
There you go. Cool.
Hey, Dresden, do you like to laugh?
Oh, Mark, heartily, heartily.
Elsie, do you like comedy?
Yeah.
I like to laugh at Elsie.
I know, me too. Listen to Funny People Talking every week. It's a podcast, and we talk about humor and comedy, and honestly, we can barely get through a commercial, but I promise you'll have a good time here, and we talk to amazing people, comedians, business leaders, inspiring people about their lives and about humor, about comedy. We play improv games.
Babble.
We babble. We talk about...
You'll be inspired, and you'll laugh. That's why he has a co-host.
We have... That's right. We have great food, celebrity stories, and we always play an improv game. So come on by. You'll have a great time. Funny People Talking, wherever the best podcasts are found.
So as far as like the business, like how are you now thinking about new distribution channels, different ways to connect with the consumer? Live streaming, or even like, I could totally see you on QVC or HSN. Like what's kind of the ideal for you?
Continuing to build up our direct to consumer. I struggle with it a lot. My team is always like, you just got to get on Instagram and, get on videos, and trying to find the time of the day. It's a little bit of an excuse. I'm like the face behind the scenes, but I really need to be out more in front because I am the esthetician. But like I said, continuing to scale globally, I would love to look, we are looking for international distribution partners would be great. Our partnership with Sephora is incredibly important to us, and they are a great partner, but I am a direct to consumer company, and that's really where most of my focus and my team's focus is. For the obvious reason, it's the most profitable. We own the customer. We own the customer data. We know our products best, so we know how to help our customers. And then everything on the back end, with email and loyalty and product recommendations and things like that. So so continuing to build the direct to consumer, I think going on a platform like QVC or HSN would be great. We've tried that angle and it just doesn't really work, mostly because they have like our competitors there. So until our competitors leave, I'm not sure they're going to put us on. But I think, using social media with video is something that I need to be doing a lot more of. I think that's a better way to connect with our customers, and we know it and we see it when we post videos that they're very responsive to it. It's a hard thing to do because it's not my natural, I'm not the person that's picking up the phone, taking selfies of myself, but
well,
I'm trying.
Right. And you have great skin. So,
Oh, thank you.
What are your thoughts on the professional sector, or like spas and things like that? And, being in the business, is that an attractive segment for, something of yours, or does it feel like it's cannibalizing? I totally get the element you mentioned where, you know, something to do within treatments. Wondering if others see it that way.
It's interesting.
It's just not an attractive channel just because it's so fragmented, right?
Do you mean to sell into the estheticians? Yeah. I would love to do that. So I would love to do that. As long as it's being sold like in their spas, and we do that. We have some smaller partners. I'd love to be able to get into like, you know, doctor's offices and things like that. I'm in conversations with a company that does that. They have like several thousand reps across the country that sell into doctor's offices and aesthetics offices, and they want to carry our product line, and we're looking to maybe do a deal with them. That would be something really interesting to me. I do get a little concerned about doing these one-off deals because I'm afraid that people are going to turn around and sell it on Amazon and undercut our Amazon, or, you know, sell it on eBay. And so I'm super protective of where our products are sold and our brand. And so, you know, I just need to be careful of that. And because we're really small, I can't go chasing out after all of these people. And so I tend to want to just sign larger deals with like a Sephora. And then we do the rest of it. So the three main channels that you can purchase our products are our website, Sephora, and Amazon. We do have some, like, we partner with Neiman's, and we have a couple other smaller deals, but that's where all of the, you know, where most of the distribution is going.
Right. No, focus is definitely key. I'm curious about your Amazon strategy, and, you know, Amazon's seen a lot of growth, you know, in beauty, but a lot of brands are still hesitant to be on the platform. You know, they also just announced their luxury storefront. I'm curious, like, how you have navigated, and you probably have like a competitive advantage because you understand it or can learn it faster, but like, how has that evolution been on Amazon and managing both Amazon versus your D2C?
So I get that in terms of like, oh, I don't want to be there, but you have to be there. It's Amazon. I'm an Amazon shopper. You know, I might want to pick up a thing a little late and I don't know, you know, pack of dermaplaning blades, you know? And so there's two different customers. I don't know that we're necessarily competing with ourselves on Amazon. And I think it's a convenience thing. So I think it's really important to be there. It is very frustrating that sometimes you just see, and that's why I brought this up previously, sometimes you just see these random people posting our products and they're selling it for less than, you know, our price. And I don't, you know, I don't know where they're getting it. And you know, they might have like a couple. So sometimes if we like, one of the things actually when we run big sales, like over holiday, we'll put a limit on how many you can purchase. So we think maybe people are purchasing, you know, in bulk quantity and then going over to Amazon and like, you know, reselling it. But I do think it's an important platform to be on. We move, especially our tools, like our skincare products, it's not nearly as large. It's really the tools and the refill packs that, you know, we sell a lot of on Amazon. And I think it's important to be there because, you know, some people are prime shoppers and they don't really want to shop on Stack Skincare, and that's fine. We'll be there. We'll be there for them over there.
Right. My biggest concern. So frustrating about the black market on Amazon. But I thought like if you sell on it, then they actually get rid of that or help or something, right?
They really don't. I mean, yeah. You can send cease and desist. Like they'll steal your creative. Like they're not allowed to be using like our photography and stuff like that. And people just don't care. I mean, I see it on eBay sometimes, and it's really frustrating. You know, that people are just, you know, I'm like basically stealing our brand and our products. So they don't. You can send cease and desist letters, but basically, you know, they consider themselves a marketplace. And so, you know, if I have a dermaplaning tool and I want to sell it, I'm allowed to post it on Amazon and sell it. You can't legally use my photography, but they do. And so you have to ask them to take it down. And, you know, there's only so much we can do to control it.
Man, managing a brand in modern times, there's just so many things.
And it's also not just Amazon US. Like we're on Amazon UK, Australia. We're registered in all of them around the world. Some of them, it's more challenging than others to get product into based on the country's regulations. But right now we have products listed on, I think, Mexico, UK, and Australia. But we've been registered in India, Japan, anywhere there's an Amazon, we have one.
Got it. And so switching gears a little bit to the marketing and influencer side of things, I know you have some like amazing, well-known celebrity clients. How did you kind of tap into that? That's kind of like a very brand founder's dream. How do you like build those relationships and maintain those?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I didn't really set out to be a celebrity esthetician or, you know, I set out to solve my skin problem and help other people. And I was ready for a career change and I really wanted a product line. But I think, you know, I think there's just a genuine aspect to it, right? So people wanted to come see me because they heard about me, you know, they heard that I was doing a great job and that I was solving people's skin concerns. And so I think it was just a natural evolution. It wasn't something that I set out to do. It wasn't my number one goal. And I think that, you know, in this industry, you know, especially with skin, I think it's always important to put the customer first, your client first, and really care for them. And I think that authenticity will just show through and then, you know, maybe those clients will follow, those types of clients.
Amazing.
Now here comes a twist. I'm going to share serious tips, challenges, and solutions. I'm 36 years old. I founded 21 companies. I'm an Inc. 500 awardee. One word. Entrepreneur.
This is Naked Entrepreneur.
It happened to me not once, not twice, three times. This is going to happen. Write it down.
With Eli Ostreicher.
Right now, let me focus on my logo. Focus on the website. You f***ing out of your mind? Are you crazy?
Rated R.
Listen, it's a podcast.
Naked Entrepreneur.
I'd love to let our listeners get to know you at a deeper level. This is the part of the show where we hit the pan. The same way you get to the bottom of your, you know, favorite beauty products, you want to get to know our guests on a more personal level. So wanted to know, you know, like what has the shift from working at large companies like Microsoft and DoubleClick and things like that, how has that shift been to entrepreneurship? Like what are the highs and lows like?
It's honestly the best thing I ever did. It's the hardest thing I've ever done. And you know, every day is I love my job. I'm very fortunate. I think, you know, having the business background and the business acumen that I have allowed me to get here. And so I'm so thankful for it. And I'm, you know, really grateful for the company that we've built. You know, I launched this business also out of need for my skin, but out of need to shift careers. I was in San Francisco and I had moved down to Los Angeles, and this was in the middle of the recession, and I couldn't find a job, and I got really, really down on myself and really, really frustrated because there wasn't a Silicon Beach here yet. And despite the fact I really didn't want to go back in that career, it was a really scary time because I, you know, there was no jobs and, you know, felt like everything was kind of crumbling around you. This was in 2009. And I always say the best thing that ever happened to me was I couldn't find a job. So, you know, I picked myself up and said, all right, look, I'm just going to go to aesthetic school. I'm going to go get my esthetician's license and I'm never going to depend on a company again to pay me a penny. And that's really, you know, how it started. And I've never looked back. I'm super grateful for, you know, I got really lucky with my team, the core team that now there's 9 of us now, soon to be 10, but the core, the first three have, they started working with me as a contracting basis. I was totally by myself in the beginning. I was like all day in the spa when I launched the product line, all day in the spa. And then I would come in my office and pack boxes and then answer emails. And I was just grinding it out. I was like, you know, I'm a self-funded entrepreneur. I've never taken a penny from anybody and we're profitable. And those same three people.
To you for that. There's not enough talking about like bootstrapping, getting to profitability. I think that's just like such an important thing. That's awesome. And your story is so empowering. That's really cool.
Bit by bit by bit, I built this. So the same three people are still, you know, the team. And then we've just, you know, I was just talking to our head of marketing. We just made another hire this week in our marketing team. And I'm like, look what we built, Gabrielle. Like, you know, it's really, I think we have so much more to go, but it's so amazing to have just such a great team, and they're all, you know, really in it to win it. Like we love our jobs. We're like a little family, you know, and I think everybody, probably most entrepreneurs, I'm sure, say this, but it's about the people, you know? And so I see just great things for us and continuing to grow the team and the product line and our relationship with our customers.
Amazing. One last thing I noticed, you went to UCLA, go Bruins, but also you studied something around global sustainability. Tell me more about that.
Yeah. So I didn't go to, I went to UCLA when I moved down here. Like I said, it was in the middle of the recession. I couldn't find a job, and I've always been really interested in sustainability as well. And so, before I went to aesthetic school and started this company, they had just started their like extended education or whatever, like, you know, night school. And they had just launched the sustainability program. And so I just moved down here. I didn't know anybody, and I really wasn't sure what I was going to be doing. So I went and took a couple courses there, in sustainability. I thought that was going to be the direction that I might go in. But then I really realized that I wanted to follow my passion and get into skincare. And so the biggest challenge really was learning skin and, you know, touching somebody's face. I mean, you know, I come from like, you know, business meetings, and it was, you know, it was hard at first to just, you know, first of all, you have somebody's, you know, skin in your hands and, you know, really understanding how to take care of that. But it was really interesting. It was very natural for me, and I didn't think it would be. So I love being an esthetician. I loved treating people's skin. It is absolutely so rewarding to have a client who starts with me that, you know, walks in and they don't have a lot of confidence. They've got makeup caked on. They don't feel good, which I completely understand. You know, I had eczema on my face. I've had it all over my body. And, you know, it's very isolating. And then, you know, several months later, them walking in with no makeup on, they feel great, they look great, they're just super happy, their whole demeanor has changed. And to be able to give that gift to somebody is really amazing. And to be able to have helped myself as well.
That's beautiful. Thanks so much for sharing. It's so good to talk through all of this and hear your story. And, you know, I'm so excited to see what's coming up next and where the business goes. What's the best way for our listeners to get in touch?
You can email me, as always best. I'm Kerry at Kerry at stackskincare.com. And then, you know, we've got all our social channels. Personally, my personal Instagram is Kerry Benjamin. I really don't post to it that often, but you can DM me there if you want, and I can respond there. You can see my cute puppies. And then, you know, of course you can reach out to us anywhere at Stack Skincare as well. We have a bot, we have Hello at, we have, you know, DM on Stack Skincare, Instagram and Facebook. So I'm pretty easy to find.
Cool. And do you have any final thoughts for our listeners?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, if you want to go and launch your own business, I'm such a proponent. I'm in your corner. If you have any questions or you need help on how to get anything done, don't hesitate to reach out. I also did a series on Forbes on how to launch a business. So there's a bunch of information over there if you just go to Forbes.com and type in my name. But just do what you're passionate about and do it, you know, bit by bit, and just keep at it and wake up every day with your vision and your passion and just keep going. And you're going to at some point look back. I can't believe it's been 8.5 years. And I'm like, this is crazy, you know? So just follow your passion and your dreams, and don't be afraid to reach out and ask for help.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for joining us on this episode. We really, really loved hearing your story and your energy. It's really inspiring. It's a good way to end the week and start the weekend.
Thank you so much for hosting me. I really appreciate it.
This is Karen Moon. We're signing off and look forward to seeing you guys on the next episode. Hugs and kisses.
This has been Beauty is Your Business, produced by Mouth Media Network. Copyright 2020. Keep in touch on Instagram and Facebook at Mouth Media Network, and find prior episodes at beautyisyourbusiness.com and wherever the best podcasts are found. Your brand message can be on this show. Email us to find out more at podcast@mouthmedianetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
This is Mouth Media Network. Amplify and connect.